The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Radio Reading Service presents Tech Tips, a monthly 30-minute show covering a wide range of assistive technologies, including portable and mobile devices, computers, and computer software designed for the blind and print-impaired community. On this month's episode of Tech Tips, we'll take a look at Android Pie, real service dogs don't ride in shopping carts, screenless phones, what would accessible cities look like, and accessible TV. That's what's coming up on this episode of Tech Tips. Tech Tips is a 30-minute program that will run once a month over the air and be available as a podcast by visiting our website at triangleReadingService.org. The purpose of Tech Tips is to keep you informed about new devices, computer software, and mobile apps designed for people who are blind or have low vision. We will at times have device demonstrations or interviews with people working to make technology available to the blind and print impaired. We also want you to be a contributor to the program. If you would like us to know about a new piece of technology or program aimed at the visually and print impaired community, let us know by phone or email. Our phone number is 919-832-5138, and the email address is chris@trrsnc.org. And as always, thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Android 9 Pie is here, and how to get it now. This comes to us courtesy of our friends over at Cool Blind Tech. It's time for a new slice of Android Pie. That's right, the 9th version of Android has an official name, and that means it's ready to install on a few phones lucky enough to support it on day one. Thanks to Project Treble, several phones already have beta versions of Android 9 in the wild. So it could be weeks, not months, before it starts showing up on more phones. But no matter how long it takes, it should be worth the wait. Pie introduces enough new features to make any Oreo user envious. So even if it hasn't dropped on your phone yet, you'll want to learn all about what's in store for the 9th version of Android. The number of handsets that are able to install Android Pie on day one is smaller than ever now that the Nexus phones have dropped off the list. First up, Pixel phones. The Pixel phones that can install Pie on day one include the Pixel XL, Pixel 2, and Pixel 2 XL. Thanks to Android One and Project Treble in Oreo, more phones than ever are taking advantage of the easier upgrade path. Many manufacturers have already pushed out Android Pie betas, so if you have one of these phones, you should be next in line to get a piece of the pie. This list includes essential phones Nokia 7 Plus, Sony Xperia XZ2, OnePlus 6, Oppo R15 Pro, Vivo X21, Vivo X21 UD, and Xiaomi Mi Mix 2S. So how do you get Pie on Pixel? Once it's available for your device, which could be today or tomorrow depending on your carrier and model, you'll get a notification telling you that the Android 9 update is available. Select it, press the install button, and restart when prompted to give it a try. If you don't want to wait for the easy over-the-air delivery, you can also download the factory image to your PC and install it in on your phone manually. It's a little more difficult and requires a working knowledge of the command line code for your Mac or PC, but it's the only way to be sure that you'll be among the first to have it on your phone. Now let's talk about how you can get Android Pie without a Pixel. If you have an essential phone, you can get it right now. Just read over the system update in the system settings and select check for updates. The Android 9 update will appear and you can download and install it today. For the other phones on the list, you can either wait until the manufacturer pushes the official version to the public or you can download the appropriate beta system images onto your PC and manually flash Android P onto your phone. It's not for the faint of heart, and you'll be writing over very important system files, so you should definitely make sure you have a backup of your phone's important data first. But if you choose that process, you'll be well acquainted with Android Pie by the time the official public version arrives. Just be warned, since these are still betas, some apps and features might not work so well, or not at all. However, if you want to start from scratch, you can always perform a factory restore by going to Settings, System, Advanced, Reset Options, Erase All Data, aka Factory Reset. Then you'll be sure to get the best possible performance out of Android Pie. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I wanted to throw this story out there, even though it's not exactly about assistive technology. It comes to us courtesy of the Orlando Sentinel, and the title of the article is Real Service Dogs Don't Ride in Carts. People respond to new warning signs at Publix. It's written by Howard Cohen, and I chose this article because we do have Publix grocery stores in the Triangle area of North Carolina. Attention Publix customers, your service animal isn't here to point out this week's BOGO specials. Okay, that's not exactly the meaning behind the signage customers are starting to see in stores that read, for food safety reasons, only service animals that are specifically trained to aid a person with disabilities are permitted within the store. Service animals are not permitted to sit or ride in shopping carts. Thank you for your help. The rule about service animals at the Lakeland-based supermarket chain isn't new, Publix spokeswoman Diane Stevens told the Orlando Sentinel on Friday. But the signage, which includes an encircled paw print with a slash through it next to the type set off in bold that gives a no-no to let your dog ride in the shopping cart, is by design. We are, after all, living in a time when people have bedeviled condo boards, airlines, restaurants, and other community spaces by calling all sorts of critters like peacocks, squirrels, miniature horses, and hamsters service or emotional support animals. American Disability Rights seemed to champion the new signs in a tweet it posted that read, "Four on the floor," and had among its hashtags, hashtag Stop Disability Fraud. Another group on Twitter, Stair Step Dog Training, also praised the initiative in a tweet directed at Fox 35's reporting on the Publix signs in Lake Mary, Florida stores. Real service dogs don't ride in carts, the tweet read. They cannot do their job if they are confined in a basket. Emotional support animals are not service dogs. People need to quit being frauds with their dogs. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Imagine a smartphone without a screen. That could be coming soon to blind and visually impaired users thanks to IUP UI researchers. This article is entitled IUP UI Researcher Seeks to Untether Blind and Visually Impaired Users with Screenless Mobile Phones. And this article is written by Rich Schneider. Blind and visually impaired mobile phone users type on accessible keyboards that read aloud keys upon touch. People who are blind and visually impaired use their mobile phones on the go, just like their sighted counterparts. But it's difficult to do and even dangerous sometimes. David Buccini, chair of the Human-Centered Computing Department in the Indiana University School of Informatics and Computing at IUPUI, is trying to fix that. His efforts are connected to a research interest he has pursued since he was a graduate student in Switzerland two decades ago. Buccini says, "How can we help blind and visually impaired people navigate the web when they cannot see the screen?" Or, "How can we make navigation more efficient?" When Buccini joined the faculty at the School of Informatics and Computing in 2008, he saw an opportunity to dive even deeper into designing navigation for auditory systems by collaborating with the Indiana School for the Blind and Bozema Enterprises, which helps Hoosiers with vision loss achieve independence. Over the last 10 years, Buccini has involved about 40 graduate and undergraduate students in his research, which has been awarded more than $500,000 in external funding. That includes two Google Faculty Research Awards totaling just over $96,000, as well as an award for over $472,000 from the National Science Foundation grant. The Google Faculty Research Award program funds world-class technical research in computing science, engineering, and related fields. The NSF grant funded Buccini's proposal to establish advanced design strategies for the oral navigation of complex web information architectures, for which users exclusively or primarily listen to rather than look at content and navigational prompts. What really interests me in working with the blind and visually impaired is that they have a different perception ability, Buccini said. They are able to grasp text to speech at a rate that is 5 or 6 times faster than the rate of a standard conversation. That forced me to look at this from a different viewpoint, he said. This, to me, is the essence of research, to look at things from a different angle. With his latest Google Faculty Research Award, Buccini is investigating auditory keyboards that use rapid streams of text-to-speech characters, leveraging the exceptional auditory processing abilities of the blind and visually impaired. Currently, blind and visually impaired mobile phone users type on accessible keyboards that read aloud keys upon touch, but that forces the users to keep their phone out at all times, increasing the risk of the device being dropped or stolen. Moreover, users must hold the device with one hand as they use the other to slide their fingers in search for symbols they cannot see. That's impractical when a blind or visually impaired person is on the move and often is holding onto a cane, a guide dog, or another person. With an auditory keyboard, users would be able to keep their phone in their pocket while letters selectable by a hand or arm motion are read aloud to them through earphones at a very fast rate. We are interested in understanding the fundamental language of screenless interaction for typing and browsing, an approach that goes beyond voice or touch interfaces and can untether the blind or visually impaired from continuous attachment to a screen while fully leveraging their outstanding ability to listen to extremely fast text-to-speech, Buccini said. Working prototypes of auditory keyboards are being developed and tested with blind and visually impaired people both at IUPUI and the Bozema Enterprises. A second round of testing is expected to occur within a few weeks. Buccini has disclosed the invention to the IU Innovation and Commercialization Office, which protects, markets, and licenses intellectual property developed at Indiana University so it can be commercialized by industry. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Most cities are utterly unfriendly to people with disabilities, but with almost 1 billion estimated to be urban dwellers by 2050, a few cities are undergoing a remarkable shift. This article is entitled, What Would a Truly Disabled Accessible City Look Like? It is written by Saba Salman, and it appeared on the Guardian website. To David Muir, a visually impaired man from Melbourne, among the various obstacles to life in cities is another that is less frequently discussed. Fear. The fear of not being able to navigate busy, cluttered, and visually oriented environments is a major barrier to participation in normal life, says Muir, 52. Be that going to shops, going for a walk in the park, going to work, looking for work, or simply socializing. That's what makes an innovative project at the city's Southern Cross train station so important to him. A new beacon navigation system sends audio cues to users via their smartphones, providing directions, flagging escalator outages, and otherwise transforming what previously was a no-go area for Muir. I no longer have to hope there's a willing bystander or a capable staff member to provide direct assistance, he says, and on a very personal and powerful level, it allows me to use this major transportation hub in one of Australia's largest cities with certainty and independence as a parent with small children. It's a game changer. MIR is just one of hundreds of millions of people with disabilities who live in cities around the world. By 2050, there will number an estimated 940 million people, or 15% of what will roughly be 6.25 billion total urban dwellers, lending an urgency to the UN's declaration that poor accessibility presents a major challenge. For the physically disabled, barriers can range from blocked wheelchair ramps to buildings without lifts or inaccessible toilets to shops without step-free access. Meanwhile, for learning disabled people or those in the autistic spectrum, the cluttered and hectic metropolitan environment can be a sensory minefield. Although the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and laws such as the Americans with Disability Act, Britain's Equality Act, and Australia's Disability Discrimination Act aim to boost rights and access, the reality on the ground is very different, as Guardian City's readers recently reported. And yet, cities benefit from accessibility. One World Health Organization study described how, like MIR, disabled people are less likely to socialize or work without accessible transport. Cities also miss out on economic gains. In the UK, the, quote, purple pound is worth 212 billion euro, and the accessible tourism market is an estimated 12 billion euro. Mapping apps make navigating cities a dawdle for most people, but their lack of detail on ramps and dropped curbs mean they don't always work well for people with physical disabilities. Take the hilly city of Seattle, where several neighborhoods have no pavements at all and many streets have a slope grade or tilt of 10 or 20%. The University of Washington's Tasker Center for Accessible Technology has a solution, a map-based app allowing pedestrians with limited mobility to plan accessible routes. Access Map enables users to enter a destination and receive suggested routes depending on customized settings, such as limiting uphill or downhill inclines. For example, while Google Maps sends pedestrians from University Street Station to City Hall via Seneca Street with its steep 10% grade, Access Map sends them via Pike Street instead, a slope of less than 2%. It also supplements data from Seattle's Department of Transportation and the U.S. Geological Survey with information from Mapathon events. Now, the Tasker Center's related Open Sidewalks project is taking it further by crowdsourcing extra information such as pavement width and the location of handrails. By 2030, 1 in 5 Singaporeans will be over 60. With this silver tsunami driving awareness of aging and disability, the city may not historically be known for inclusive practices, but has recently won praise from the UN for its accessible, user-friendly built environment. The universal design principles drawn up by Singapore's Building Construction Authority have encouraged accessibility in new development since its launch in 2007. Capital Green in the Central Business District is a 40-story office block that has won a host of UD awards. Completed in 2014 at a cost of $1.3 billion, the Toyo Edo design structure features column-free spaces and a low concierge counter to help disabled people move around the building more easily. Lift doors stay open longer, handrails flank both sides of staircases, and the chairs have grab handles. A hearing induction loop enables clear communication for those using hearing aids, while braille directions, tactile guidance, and easy-to-read pictographs help the visually impaired. Routes into the office from underground pedestrian walkways and two mass rapid transit stations are barrier-free. Singapore's MRT, or Mass Rapid Transit, has also been working to improve accessibility over the past decade. The 30-year-old network has been getting more lifts, wider gates, and a tactile guidance, and more than 80% of the 138 stations have at least two barrier-free routes. The title of world's most accessible metro system, however, probably goes to Washington, D.C. All 91 subway stations are fully accessible, along with its rail carriages and the entire bus fleet. People with autism can be hypersensitive to sound, light, and movement and become overwhelmed by noisy, cluttered, or crowded spaces. Sweetwater Spectrum, a $6.8 million supported housing project in Sonoma, California, aims to address this. The site, which opened in 2013, includes four 4-bed homes for 16 young adults, a community center, therapy pools, and an urban farm, all designed by Lady Madam Stacy Architects, according to autism-specific principles recommended by Arizona State University to promote a sense of calm. Along with simple, clear lines, the homes are designed so residents can clearly see spaces across the thresholds. Noise is kept to a minimum thanks to a quiet heating and ventilation system and thoughtful designs such as locating the laundry room away from the bedrooms. Fittings and decor reduce sensory stimulation and clutter with muted colors, neutral tones, and recessed or natural light. The Mush Home Sports Holiday and Conference Complex in Corsair has won numerous awards, most recently from the International Olympic Committee and the International Paralympic Committee for its 2015 redesign of the basic 1998 site. At the center of the venue, owned by the Danish Muscular Dystrophy Foundation, is a vast circular sports hall with the aerial ropeway and climbing wall for wheelchair users and an integrated pulley system. Outside, a 100-meter ramp spirals from the base of the hall to a sky lounge. The ramp can also be used as a wheelchair racing track. The 24 hotel rooms each have ceiling hoists, electronic curtains, beds that can be automatically raised or reclined, adjustable height sinks, and accessible toilets. By the waterside, a private bathing jetty is wide enough for wheelchairs and accessible via a ramp. Accessibility must be felt but not seen, says Foundation Director Heinrich Dorgensen. Mush Home, which cost 12.9 million euros to build, is run as a social enterprise. Lack of accessibility, other people's assumptions, body ideals, and a lack of self-confidence among people with disabilities are often the biggest barriers for diversity, he adds. We wanted to create a place where there is space for differences. Denmark is also the home to what is widely regarded as the world's most accessible office building. The House of Disabled People's Organizations in the Copenhagen suburb of Testrup is the shared headquarters of some 30 different disability groups. Built in 2012 for 178 krone, or 21 million euro, the universal design includes drive-through lifts so wheelchair users don't have to turn around, and small tactile knobs on railings so blind people can easily tell which floor they're on. Chester, in northwest England, is renowned for its two-mile circuit in Roman, Saxon, and medieval walls, and its elevated walkways called rows. But the city's historic status belies its role as an accessible champion. Last year, it became the first British city to win the European Commission's Access City Award. The rows are accessible with ramps, a lift, and an escalator, while the council's 15-year regeneration strategy promises accessibility in new developments. Take the 300 million euro Northgate Shopping and Leisure Development to be completed by 2021. The site will include accessible stores, restaurants, housing, and a 157-room hotel, including 8 accessible rooms with ceiling hoists. The hotel will include a changing places facility for people with complex or multiple and profound disabilities. Unlike standard accessible toilets, these include a height-adjustable changing bench, adjustable sink, a toilet designed for assisted use, and hoist. Chester already has 6 such changing places facilities, including one at the recently opened bus interchange, and more are planned around the city. The accessible design of Chester's year-old cultural center, Story House, was created after feedback from disability groups and the council's access team. The 37 million euro theater, cinema, and library complex has 7 accessible toilets, a changing places facility, flexible seating for groups of disabled theater goers, audio description, and hearing loops. Backstage, there is an accessible toilet, accessible changing rooms, and a lift. Melbourne's Bluetooth audio cues. Users of Melbourne's Beacon scheme receive audio directions via their smartphones. As David Muir discovered in Melbourne, Australia, an 8-month pilot scheme is currently transforming how visually impaired people navigate public space. The project at Southern Cross Station Rail Terminal uses Bluetooth and free GPS smart app Blind Square to create a beacon navigation system. Users receive audio cues via their smartphones, providing directions or real-time information about issues such as escalator outages. Outside, the app provides real-time directional information. Inside, where GPS is unavailable. 20 wireless Bluetooth beacons means users still receive information. Audio cues include advice such as approaching 3 escalators on left, followed by a set of doors. The doors on the left are automated. I feel like a second-class citizen. Readers on navigating cities with a disability. The trial is led by the charity Guide Dogs Victoria, which plans to install similar systems at Melbourne Zoo, Alberta Park, home to the Australian Grand Prix, and the Docklands area. In many situations, the person with low vision and blindness will have greater knowledge than the sighted person, says Alistair Scott of Guide Dogs Victoria. It's a complete role reversal.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service.
If you watch TV and you haven't had to buy a new one in a while, you are going to be in for a shock the next time you go shopping. Most TVs on the market now are what are called smart TVs, which means they have internet connectivity and they have apps already built in so you can stream Netflix or Hulu or Amazon, whatever service you use. They also have accessibility built in, making it easier for folks with disabilities to navigate through all the menus. This article basically describes smart TVs and the different types of accessibilities you may encounter. This article comes to us courtesy of GearBrain.com. Smart TVs and apps can help the visually impaired, but fewer than half know about them. 81% of people with visual impairments watch more than an hour of television a day. And yet, fewer than half know about technology that can assist them, including video description, text-to-speech, and talking TV guides. That's the finding of a joint survey between Comcast and American Foundation for the Blind, AFB. While 96% of visually impaired adults watch television regularly, 65% of those surveyed said they had trouble figuring out what they could watch on the television. Further, more than half, 53%, said they did not have an easy time following visual elements of what they were watching. Assistive technology, such as closed captioning, can be found across many media devices, including Apple TV and apps such as Hulu and Netflix. Comcast, too, offers technology such as video description services, launching them in tandem with NBC Olympics to help people with visual disabilities who were watching the Winter Games this past year. And subscribers to Comcast's Xfinity TV can also tap into a voice remote as well as voice guidance. This research aligns with what I've experienced in my own life. People who are blind or visually impaired enjoy watching news, sports, and movies just as much as their sighted peers, especially when the content is accessible, says Kirk Adams, president and CEO of AFB. In a release, accessible technologies, from video description or accessible remote controls and set-top boxes, have a huge positive impact on the quality of experience.
We've run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website at www.trianglereadingservice.org. Tech Tips is produced by Chris Skidmore in cooperation with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any questions, you can email me. My email address is chris@trrsnc.org, or you can give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips.